Welcome to Tappy Vegas, brought to you by Better and Green. We are back to break down UFC Vegas 100. We had a good week last week. Bobby, if you think back to UFC 300, it was the pay-per-view where Dana White said, you know what, I'm going to make this the best card of all time. It's a pay-per-view. I'm going to throw all these guys on it. And now for UFC Vegas 100, he said, I'm going to make this the most apex fight night of all time and gave us the worst card of all time. We had a hard time finding five fights, but we did. Why don't you take us away with this first fight, Bobby?
Treshawn Gore versus Antonio Trockley. This is an interesting fight to try to say something nice about it. So Treshawn Gore, he had a lot of momentum coming off the Ultimate Fighter when he was on that show because his Ultimate Fighter exhibition matches, he was doing pretty well. You know, he beat Gilbert Arbina, KO TKO in round two, May 2021. Ryder Newman, unanimous decision over three rounds, April of 2021. So it looked like he was going to have a lot of momentum coming into the UFC when he actually made his debut February 2022, but got pretty handily bested by Brian Battle. No shame there. We just recently saw Brian Battle and what he was capable of on that Paris card. And then lost to Cody Brundage by strikes in round one in July 2022. That's where we start to get a little bit embarrassing, because when your best win in your three actual UFC fights is Josh Fremd, and you beat Josh Fremd and you were able to at least finish him by guillotine in round two, that doesn't exactly inspire much confidence. There's not really much to work with off that, because while Fremd went on after that loss to beat Cedricus Dumas by guillotine and Jamie Pickett by unanimous decision, he's been on a two-fight skid, losing by liver punch to Roman Kopylov and unanimous decision by Andre Petroski. So I just don't have much confidence in Treshawn Gore, unfortunately, but I also don't really think that I have much confidence in Trockley either, because I think the only W that Trockley has is being the boyfriend of Mackenzie Dern. Other than that, I don't really know what Trockley really has going for him. I'm sure somebody in the comments section can answer that question for us. Thank you for your service and your cervix. But nonetheless, I'm just really not sold on this fight either way, because both guys are kind of steaming hunks of poop. If you feel free to disagree, I'm sure we'll hear about it, but that's all right. America's a representative democracy, and even though you're wrong, you're entitled to be such. So looking at the odds here, is anything going to take the edge off? Because nothing's really standing out when it comes to the eye test and performance metrics on these two stud muffins here. Treshawn Gore, minus 175. Trockley's a plus 145. Yeah. Something I'm interested about, Treshawn Gore. I know Trockley just fought at light. No, he was at middleweight because he just is coming off his loss to Shahar Magomedov. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Trockley's coming off Shahar Magomedov loss this past June. Left hook round three, got beaten by the pirate he likes to call himself.
We did call that fight, by the way.
Yes, we did actually predict it down to the method and the over under on the strikes. Everything else, you're welcome. I'm sure you made some money off that. We love you for tuning in. So this is probably going to be at middleweight. Once again, if I'm wrong, I know we'll be corrected, so I don't have to worry about that. We have an intern for that. So Trockley versus Treshawn Gore. So Treshawn Gore he was supposed to fight Bo Nickel. Thank God that man didn't. That would have been a massacre if you're getting pounded out by Cody Brundage. No H word. So I'm guessing this is probably going to be a middleweight fight here, 185, 6 foot, 75 inch reach for Gore. Trockley is 6'5 with an 80 inch reach. How the hell are you 5 inches taller, but your reach is the same? What a crazy index on Treshawn Gore. Good for him. Interesting. Age isn't really playing a role in this. Gore's 30, Trockley's 33. You know, I like mystery boxes, and even though he lost to Shahar Magomedov, there's no shame in that, especially if I can get a mystery box at those odds. I might be willing to take that. Yeah, plus 145 for a mystery box for Treshawn Gore, which feels like a pretty much known commodity at this point. I think I'll just take money line on Trockley. What do you think?
Looking at the website right now, it does look like this fight's at middleweight. Unfortunately, I'm on Treshawn Gore here. Trockley or Tricoli, whatever his name is. Last time he fought before the Shara fight was in 2021. Comes out against Shara, short notice, gets knocked out. We predicted it. Not that surprising. Oh, look at that. Popping a cold one there. you know, I don't know. I don't know what this dude, I don't have enough faith in him. Gore, I was a little impressed with one of the submissions that he had. I can't think of the guy's name right now. But, you know, going to decision with Brian Battle, I think that is, we saw Andalusa get absolutely punished. And so it's like, you know what, this guy's better than Andalusa, which I think Lusa would beat Antonio here. Gore's last fight was in 2022. 75% of the money is on Gore, so it's like, that Vegas aspect makes me a little nervous. But I think we're going to go Gore here. There's just nothing that Antonio does good enough that makes me want to take him over the upside of Gore.
Yeah, that inactivity is concerning, though, that he hasn't fought in 2 years. Like I said, the canceled Bo Nickel fight that was supposed to take place July last year, AJ Dobson February this year. So it's like he hasn't even had enough canceled fights in between those 2 years. So
no, it's I agree.
I wonder, is there injury causing that? Does he just want that much? Want that much time off? Is he trying to like hone in on a skill set? Is he making good use of that time? Right. I just think it's too much of a toss-up for me based off what I've seen on the eye test and performance metrics and all that. For me, I'll just go with the dog on it.
Yeah,
I know there's a lot of people out there that like to pump themselves up going for the favorites every card. Those channels know who they are, but
I don't blame you. I don't blame you, man. That was one of our reasons when we picked Shara. Was we're like, he's been gone for so long, Antonio. And now looking at Treshawn Gore, he's been gone for a while. But you know what? Treshawn Gore is just as good, if not better, than Khamzat Chimaev.
You watch your mouth. I don't know how to respond to that.
You knew it was coming, man.
You know somebody out there is going to take that serious.
I know, man. Whatever. Let's move on to this next fight. Quit clowning around. We're going to talk about Gaston Bolaños versus Cortavious Romeus. Cortavious. When I was writing down, I thought of that. I was like, this is Bobby's man right here. I think he is a more balanced fighter, but he doesn't initiate takedowns. When I'm looking at Gaston, 4% of the money on Gaston. He's a striker, so I think this is probably going to be a big-time striking match. Maybe Gaston can catch him. One of the interesting things here about this line, so we have Cortavious at minus 218, Gaston at plus 180. Like I said, he's only got 4% of the money, and Vegas always likes to try to get that closer to 50-50, so their liability is less. 7 of these fights have 3-1 odds, and I think 4 of them are like minus 450 and higher. So like they are not shy about having horrible odds for this card. We'll talk about them like up at the main event, minus 800. For Prates, horrible numbers. So why is Gaston still at only plus 180 with 4% of the money? It's just weird. That is too fishy for me. So I am going to take the underdog here. I'm going to take Gaston. Maybe he catches Cortavious. I think, you know, it got a chance for a knockout here. If this fight stays standing, we'll see, man. We'll see. That's kind of how I see it going. What do you think, Bobby?
Gotta do your research, man. Gaston Bolaños' name's actually Gaston Bologna.
Bologna.
Bologna. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. This is interesting, though, because Gaston Bolaños' nickname is the Dream Killer, and Cortavious' nickname is Are You Not Entertained? That's actually right. Pretty interesting that they have such unique little nicknames there.
Yeah.
Oh, Cortavious is 9-2. Gaston Bologna is 7-4. Oh, Gaston Bologna. You said you're on Bologna, right?
I'm on Bologna, yes.
Excuse me. Yeah, I mean, there's no shame in TKO in your last fight of January this year getting TKO'd by Marcus McGee. Marcus McGee's one of my guys. He's a boy watch 2024 and beyond for me. Got very interested to see where his career goes. I think he's got a lot of potential in that division. Other than that, spent a lot of time on Bellator. did pretty, you know, actually did pretty well on Bellator. Had a lot of Bellator fights from 2017 all the way up until he transitioned to the UFC in 2023, and only three losses. So pretty damn good Bellator record there. Kickboxing, two kickboxing fights, the rest MMA. So really good experience level on the second best promotion in America right now for MMA. So no shame there. 5'7", 69-inch reach. Nice. 5'4", 68-inch reach. So shorter with an inch less than Reese for Cortavious. Cortavious, that's my ding-dong you're touching. second time around on Contender Series, finally got his contract. Lost in strikes in round one to Ramon Tavares the first time he was on there. So this is his first real UFC fight. LFA, he only has one fight, so it's kind of hard to judge the level of, like, his regional competition. Let's see. Has he really got – I mean, he couldn't really get – it must have been a damn good performance to get a contract without a knockout on the Contender Series by just getting a unanimous decision. That's interesting. Against Michael Imperioli. I thought he was on The Sopranos. No, I'm just kidding. Michael Imperato. Yeah, I'll just go with you on that for the underdog money line there. Like I said, we play for keeps around here. We don't play little boy ball, and we don't walk around like Andrew Tate with a cigar in the mouth picking the plus – I mean the minus 500s around here. So tune in somewhere else. Your money's no good here if that's what you're expecting. So I'll ride the gravy train on biscuit wheels with you for that.
I don't know, man. I'm a couple parlays away from walking around different, bro.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, minus 1,000 in there.
Yeah,
I never lose with my one at minus 1,000. I never lose. I don't lose.
Bobby, why don't you break down this next fight, especially because you got this guy correct at underdog odds last time we talked about him. So break him down again. Can he do it times two?
All right, so Gerald Meerschaert versus DeRidder. So we got DeRidder and Meerschaert. So this is actually going to be a very good fight. Renier DeRidder is pretty good submission guy in his own right. I think he's coming off of one. Let me double check. In turn, not needed on this one. Thank you very much. The Dutch Knight DeRidder is, yeah, coming off of one. Last fight, March of this year, and won. He thought he was going to retire when he lost. Kind of on a three-fight skid. That's not very encouraging, especially when you were considering retirement and whatnot. Came back on the UAE circuit, won in punches round one July this year against Magomedrov Kasayev. Nickname's a trucker. That's fascinating. Who also isn't exactly a world beater either in his own right. So the thing I like about DeRidder is as – shout out to Open Note Grappling. I was kind of looking at his grappling study on DeRidder, and I found it fascinating because the guy is pretty damn good at that. Arm triangle finish 2 years ago. Ong Lun Sang rear naked finish. I'm not as familiar with one, so I'm not really sure. Call me whatever you want. I'm not really sure the caliber of competition one.
That possesses. Guy at the time was a two-division champion. So like
oh, light so there you go.
Or something like that, yeah.
Thank you. Look at you doing your research. Thank you. So, yeah, pretty impressive then that he was able to beat that guy with a rear naked in round one and then come back a few months later in the rematch and handily cruise to a unanimous decision over five rounds against Ong Lun Sang.
He took the other title, man. Back to back. Yeah. In both titles.
Just taking the man's – just taking that bussy, man. Just rude. Getting deep in that. Yeah, so he's got a really good submission game. So here's my breakdown of this fight. I really like this fight, and I think this is going to be hands down probably one of the best fights on the card because I anticipate this to be a grappling heavy match between DeRidder and Gerald Meerschaert, and I actually am very much looking forward to this fight. I've been going back and watching a lot of DeRidder's other things available through various sources I cannot name. You know, obviously since he is not a UFC fighter until just now, to be able to do tape study on this guy. And I just love his grappling. Obviously we know Meerschaert's a grappler. That's how we just hit on like a pretty huge plus 600 and some even good underdog money lines on Meerschaert, not that long ago for his last fight, which I will be discussing in a moment, but grappling heavy fight between both of these guys, So it was over Shabazzian, the arm triangle choke over Shabazzian, yes, that we made a lot of money off of on this show this past August, for how much the odds were for that and the underdog money line itself. I mean, Mearshart is a guy who wins a lot. Like 78% of his 37 wins come by sub. So you already know what his game plan is. If he thinks he can grapple, he's going to want to grapple. That's how I see it playing out with DeRidder. DeRidder's definitely not going to shy away from the grappling. Mearshart shouldn't be shying away from it because Gerald Mearshart, excuse me, gosh, man, poor guy has a terrible name to begin with, and it's hard to pronounce. So Mearshart is also a glass can. He's a BJJ glass cannon because while the majority of his wins come by sub, he also loses the majority of his fights by sub. So 8 of his 17 losses for 47%, the majority of his losses come by sub because he lives by the sub and dies by the sub. So Ritter and him going to be grappling. If you enjoy that, it's going to be great. Just two sweaty guys just rolling around on top of each other. My favorite type of fight, just trying to do things with each other's limbs and body parts that you wouldn't think physically possible. I'm getting a little flush just contemplating what could possibly happen. So it will seriously be a good fight. Like I said, I think it might probably end up being the best fight on the card. And pretty much Vegas looks at this how we're probably looking at, or at least I am. DeRidder money line's -310. Mearshart's a +250. If you're trying to look at specific winning methods, you're getting, yeah, you're not getting much from DeRidder sub at +175, but that's what I'm rolling with. That's what I'm going with because I think Mearshart is going to meet his match in the grappling. And just as much as he's lived by the sub, I think he dies by the sub in this particular fight. So that's kind of how I have it. I'll take DeRidder sub just to take a little bit off the edge, take the edge off a little bit since you can get it at plus money at +175 to negate that -3-something money line. But I mean, you're not exactly going to get rich off this one. What do you think?
I see it, Bobby, the exact same way you do. I really do. Like, my notes were that both these guys, like, prefer grappling. Right now I'm seeing 74% of the money is on Ritter. And at this price, at the -310, that seems about right. So that doesn't bother me too much. Vegas is kind of hedging their bets right there. Great grappling, poor striking. So I think that Ritter's going to want to get this to the ground. And we saw with the Mearshart fight against Shabazzian, he just kept taking him down, kept taking him down. So this fight stays on the mat. I agree. This is going to be kind of like just a BJJ who can sub who first type of fight. I wish that we could get better odds on the decision sub because decision sub right now is -225. So you're barely taking anything off of it. I think I'm going to be with you on the Ritter sub +175. I hate narrowing us down like that, but that just feels like the way this fight's gonna trend. And like thinking about this from a Ritter and UFC standpoint, so you laid out his path to get to this point. So he just retires two fights ago, then he comes back and he fights and wins, and now he's in the UFC. Okay. Like, look at all these other guys in the UFC right now. Like, I can't think of his name right now. The homeboy that does the pole dancing.
Really the pole dancing bantamweight. Give me a second.
Yes.
What? I know exactly who you're talking about.
He's got like the black tattoo on his chest.
Peyton Talbot. Yeah, there we go, yeah.
Yes, Peyton Talbot, like, he's still, like, working his way up through guys. Like, he's coming in, Ritter's coming in straight to Mearshart. That seems like a really, like, strong opponent to start off with. And why do you come out of retirement and you come in to the UFC, you get this competition just to, lose, fizzle out, retire again? It just kind of seems weird. It kind of seems like the UFC's setting this one up to be like, oh, you know, Ritter, if he gets this sub of Mearshart, like, oh, is this guy going to be one of the next, like, contenders? Like, probably not. No, I don't think so. But just the tea leaves are leading me in this direction. So I think that we're on the right side here getting the sub. And once again, It's the worst odds here if you're doing just the methods, because even the decision's plus 180. So they're not going to let you come out of this unscathed. They're going to make you put your balls on the table, take the single digit with the worst odds, and I think it turns out for us.
Very good point about how DeRidder might not make an impact at this stage of his career in the UFC. It could end up being a very similar situation to Ben Askren, where it's too little too late. You kind of feel like his prime has just really passed him by before you're able to see what that would look like in the UFC. So very good point there. But yes, you're absolutely right. I think at least for this fight, just like Ben Askren won his debut against Robbie Lawler, I think DeRidder will at least win this debut fight against Mir Shart. And from there, I don't know. The division's looking a little bit too strong lately for, I think, him to have this much of an impact, but we shall see.
Absolutely. Absolutely glad we agree there, man. Let's put this next fight that got bumped all the way, I believe it was in the prelims. If not, I apologize, but bumped all the way up to the co-main. We got Ricky Tercios versus Bernardo Sopoy. Man, we've covered Ricky too much.
Ricky Two Fingers.
Ricky Two Fingers, man. I watched way too much Ricky. Poor defense. Right now, you're seeing 19% of the bets and 28% of the money. So he does have some money coming in on him. I think these odds are really bad. This is going to be a hard one to bet because Tercios, it's like he is definitely the more experienced guy here. And you get him at the plus 260. Bernardo coming off a absolutely brutal KO. One of those where it looks like a video game, like ragdoll physics. Like he just got completely clobbered with that knee and just crumbled to the ground. Just completely out cold. I think it's been enough time. I think it's been like 7 months or something like that. There's been some time that's passed by. Some people will say that like you need, after a knockout like that, you need a year. I mean, he's going against Ricky though. Like Ricky doesn't have that much power, I don't think. He needs a win, and he trains with Khamzat, which, once again, like it's a big like size difference. But if you're training at the same gym as Khamzat, like you know those guys are going over the sambo, the wrestling stuff. They're going over type of stuff to get your opponent on the ground, and Ricky is really, really poor takedown defense. We saw Chi-wee-wee absolutely just have his way with Ricky in both the first and the second. Ricky came out swinging crazy. That's, if anybody remembers it, that's the one where they went to tap gloves and Ricky didn't tap. He just like instantly jumped on Mr. Chiwiwi. Raul Rosas Jr. Ricky, I mean, I get that he's been around longer. I just don't know about this one, man. I think Bernardo, the path to victory is too clear for him. At 325, though, like, I really don't want to take that money line.
Gosh, that's a nasty money line, too.
Isn't it? It's like, a horrible money line.
I don't get how he's such a heavy favorite because I don't understand it for a guy I can barely even find a Tapology page on. Like, it's just so bizarre.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And then Ricky, like, you can find his stuff, like, just fine. And then some of this, like, Sopai, I think is how you pronounce it. Some of his stuff is, like, he's marked as – like Sweden, and some of his stuff he's marked as Albanian. I used Albania because I think whatever I was looking at the time, I saw more Albania. I think ESPN had him as Albanian. So I can't even get this dude's country right. Let's see, looking at the methods.
And he's coming off a brutal flying knee loss to Vincius.
Yes.
Vincius, what the hell is Vincius Oliveira? Yeah, March of this year, flying knee. Like, gosh, I know Ricky Tercios just got choked out by Chiwiwi's Raul Rojas, but man, I'd much rather. I can understand that. Vincius Oliveira, I don't get that, man.
I'll let you break this one down a little bit more. I'm looking at the decisions. Nothing's really sticking out with me, so I want to hear what you have to say.
This is tough because I just feel like I understand. Once again, he's coming off being choked out in round two by Raul Rojas, but Raul Rojas looks pretty damn good.
Right.
And Tercios has beaten Kevin Natividad, lost to Ayman Zahabi. I'm a little concerned about that, but it's whatever. Beat Brady Highstand. So it's like he's still very young in his career. I just don't get – I think I might be on Tercios' money line on this, especially with it that ridiculous. I just don't understand. I just really don't. Like, I'm trying to find. So I got Self-Budge up on Tapology, and yeah, he is supposed to be training out of All Stars training in Sweden, like you said, the Tom Zuch gym also, and awesome Guram Kutataladze, both two very good fighters, their gym. But it's like, man, FCR, it's an all right regional scene for Europe. Just nothing really sticks out. Nothing. I think people are just sleeping on Tercios on this, man. I just don't feel comfortable taking a guy who's only had – this is his second UFC fight. He's coming off a vicious flying knee loss from March. Yeah, he's given himself enough time to recover, but I think I'm taking Tercios money line, man. This is a case of I don't like the mystery box. The mystery box is scary because I'm not getting it at a good value. So I think I'm staying away from Sopage on this one, man. I'd much rather take the known thing in Tercios that has a way better chance of pulling this off at way better odds just on money line alone. I feel like this could trap people who, like, you and I are the risk takers, man. We're the actual real ones out here. Everybody else is just going to fall for that. Oh, he's a -325. Let's pick him because he's the favorite and we're scared. Right. So. I feel like it's
because we just can't see enough of him. Like,
right.
Like he doesn't even have a SureDog account.
Like, it's just so weird. It's weird. Do you have what the money line's coming in? Is there a lot of money coming in on him? Like, what are the odds looking like in terms of that?
I have. So, like, let's see, 19% of bets. So, 81% of the bets on Bernardo, and then 28% of the money. So we're seeing sharp money on Ricky because I think they're thinking kind of like you're thinking. So 28 would be, what, 72% of the money?
So 72% of the money is on Sopage?
Yeah.
So they wouldn't have to pay out too much if Tercios does win, right now at least.
Right.
If that changes between now and Saturday, it's a different story. But so far, they'd be able to eat that without being too damaged by it, so
that's the problem. They set this line perfect.
Yeah. I think I'm going Tercios money line, man. I don't want to take that risk off a dude who got viciously knocked out that bad in his first fight. That's also the type of thing they could either you're either going to go back to the drawing board and you're really going to learn from that, or that's the type of thing that just instantly shatters you and you just never recover from that. I think he has a far better – Tercios has a far better chance at recovering from being choked out by Raul Rojas than Sopash has from being knocked out by Vinicius Oliveira. So, I just don't think that Tercios should be that big of a dog. I just really struggle to find the justification for that based off metrics, height, reach, record – I don't get it. I'm sure somebody's going to chime in, but I don't give a shit. I'm rolling Tercios money line.
I think you flipped me, man. I think you flipped me. Flipped me over to Ricky. It's
like the cooter?
I don't know, man. Yeah. There's just a lot of red flags here. I think in a like perfect world, I'm not betting this. Then. Even in a not perfect world, the world we're in, I'm still not betting this. But breaking down the analysis of it, I do think that Ricky probably, especially since we're seeing almost 10% of sharp money coming in, especially this card, there's not a lot of variance, I've noticed. A lot of them, the bet percentage and handle percentage are really close. So I think this is one of the biggest fights that we've seen this sharp money coming in. So, yeah, give me Ricky Bunnyline. I'd rather have all three methods available than try to pick something. Because you can't take the -325. So you'd have to pick something with Bernardo, and I don't want to do it. So, yeah, give me Ricky, man.
There we go.
How about I throw it to you to break down this main fight?
Yeah, so this is going to be the best fight on the card. De Ridder, Meerschaert second. This is hands down the best. Carlos Prates versus Neil Magny, the main event. 5-round fight. Scheduled here. Neil Magny starting to show his signs of wear and tear, starting to show his age, starting to show his record, things of that nature. He's only 37, which isn't terribly old in MMA. We see guys still compete at the highest level like Yoel Romero at like 40, but Yoel's obviously a genetic mutant in his own right, and like Shane Carwin was able to compete late in his career. Randy Couture was able to win the championship at like 45 or something crazy. You know what I mean? For our interns out there, but you get the point. Neil Magny probably should be hanging it up soon. I know MMA retirements don't last. Some people go through multiple retirements before it's actually official. It's not like the regular world where it's one and done and you move on to something else. Magny should probably seriously hang it up, especially if he gets as viciously knocked out as I anticipate him getting in this fight. It's going to be a standing fight. I think he has absolutely nothing to offer Carlos Prates. Carlos Prates feels really unstoppable at this point in time. Contender Series, straight left finish, round two, got the contract. February of this year, and the dude's so active. I love that activity level, man. This is what we need, is fighters fighting this often. Like, if people aren't making it out of round two with you and striking because you're straight up finishing them, you should be this active. It's amazing to see. I really like it. I can't speak highly enough of this activity level that the UFC desperately needs to go back to, of healthy fighters winning in impressive fashion at least three fights. This would be his fourth fight this year. Straight left finish in round two over Trevin Giles, February of this year, June this year. Need Charles Radke out of consciousness. August of this year, left hook took Li Jingling out of his consciousness in round two. So fourth fight this year. Beautiful to see up against Neil Magny. Jingling was a great test. Magny's going to be like the cherry on top. I think he passes it with flying colors. I mean, the guy has been on a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 fight finishing streak going all the way back to November 2021, just speaking to the just ridiculous level of finishing he's been able to translate at high levels of competition. LFA is a great feeder organization to the UFC, was finishing guys in round one in LFA. It's been finishing guys in the UFC in round two at the absolute latest. Can't say enough good things about Carlos Prates and how he's really injected some life into a 170 division that's in a really weird state right now, with Khamzat kind of not really making it clear what he's going to do. Is Khamzat going to stay at 185 since you just beat Whitaker? Is he going to bounce around again? Not really sure right now. So 170 is just kind of in that state of, all right, you got a bunch of old guys just kind of milling around at the top. Kobe, Usman, guys like that who probably should, you know, hang it up or compete, just do something. Just a lot of old guys just kind of hanging around, man. Masvidal finally retired not that long ago, but overall welterweight does have some up and coming guys, but it just practices what they needed to really inject some impetus, some movement into this division. And I think he's going to keep doing that against a guy like Magny, who, like I said, really should just get out. Like, you got Bilal is obviously the champ, Leon's there. But Leon just looks terrible if you force him to grapple. I already said Usman. Shafkat obviously is right there in the mix. Another injection of life. Sean Brady's reinvigorated his career with the Gilbert Burns win. JDM, Jack Della, still got some injury stuff going on. But, hey, I just talked about Kobe Covington. He's still number six. He's still number six. Usman's still two. Gary's seven. Gilbert's eight. Gilbert needs to probably retire. Buckley's coming in at 9, and then Jeff Neal's at 10, which isn't good. Stephen Thompson's at 11, Michael Page, Luke A, and then Magny's 15. So good matchmaking. I think he's a sacrificial lamb, though, to Carlos Prates. I really can't say much about this fight. I'm sure the odds are going to be just as disgusting because everybody knows what we do.
Oh yeah.
So it's – but I can't argue with it. That's the sad thing. I can't argue. I don't think Neil Magny has a chance. What – Ian Gary thought he was going to do to Neil Magny, Carlos Prates is going to do to Neil Magny. He's going to just absolutely dismantle him. And at minus 800, I can't give you a single justification for Magny at plus 550. So you're welcome. We're just like all your other favorite betting channels out there on this one. And winning method, Prates by KOTKO minus 400.
No.
You know what? I'll turn – I'll turn chicken shit into chicken salad on this, and just to be a little stinker, I like Carlos Prates submission by at plus 800, and my haymaker might end up being Prates decision at plus 800. So nothing else is really moving me on this card. So why not just swing for the fences on both?
Oh God, you're not. Are you actually picking that?
I don't know, man. I gotta find something, but it's not looking good out in this joint.
It's not, dude. Looking at this fight, man, I absolutely agree with you. I think this is Carlos Prates' fight to take. Fighting nerds, gotta mention that. Out of the fighting nerds, he's smoking cigs and smoking fighters. 87% of the money is coming in on Prates. At minus 800, Vegas is like, yeah, that's fine. Pour all your money in. Pour as much as you want. Magny creeping up on 40. I took the KO sub because it's like, okay, I think he gets the knockout, but the knockout itself is minus 400. So I'm like, okay, I have minus 400, minus 800. Why would I? I'm just going to take, like, minus 400. You don't want to take minus 400. So I will just take the minus 500 and just be done with it, dude. Take the minus 500, get the extra unit. It's going to suck no matter what. I mean, what do you think? Maybe parlay it with like the over under 2.5.
Ooh. Under 2.5? What's under 2.5 at?
Under's minus 195.
So would that really do much that's tantalizing? Because I think it's going to be finished. I mean, round two is I think it's going to be fast. I think it's going to be fast. Nobody's made round two in the UFC with him. I don't expect that to change with Neil Magny, unless Magny's route is going to be if he just tries to wall install. But I just feel like he's going to get caught coming in trying to wall install.
Which I heard some people talking about that, like saying that if he can weather the storm with Prates and just bring it into like a later fight, because this is going to be a 5-rounder, that like
right. He
might really start fading down the stretch. Good lord, right. Dude! If you parlay the under 2.5 Carlos Prates KO, it's still only minus 150 for a 3-legger.
I mean, the biggest question is, it's a valid concern that people are bringing up. We don't know what his grappling looks like, and we would anticipate, since he's primarily a striker, I mean, for fuck's sake, the man literally has Muay Thai in English tattooed across his chest. Like, if it does get dicey, will he just get a wet blanket decision loss? Will he just get smothered by Magny? So I don't clown or disrespect anybody thinking that Magny has a chance, because there is a very real chance that could happen, and that could quickly put out any fire and momentum this guy has in the division and unfortunately kill the division itself. But you got to do that over 5 rounds. And even if you're gassed and everything, like, I know power starts to kind of fade with fatigue, but that guy just seems like he has just that Firas Sahabi touch of death power that just is always there.
I feel like we did this just recently with another fighting nerds guy. Forget his name. The main guy over
Burrell?
There.
Was it Burrell?
Yes. Remember, he just had a like 5-round fight. Was it with Cannoneer
against,
or something?
Yeah, against Cannoneer, yeah.
Yeah, and then he ended up, like, it went longer and he was fine.
Right, he just absolutely beat the hell out of Cannoneer. Like, he probably could have gotten the finish with a more timid ref who actually cared about brain cells. But instead, he just battered Cannoneer. But that was still, like, we knew that fight was going to stay standing. This one, I don't know, because Cannoneer's not a grappler either. The concern there was just, since it does stay standing with a guy who does have power like Cannoneer, who can knock you out, would he get knocked out, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of the main difference there.
And if I said it got finished, I apologize. You're right. That was a decision against Barajo. Bobby, how about let's get to our biggest plus odds bet of the night. We call it our haymaker. Guys, we try to give you one pick each card so you guys can make a lot of money. And we're also going to give you guys some free money to play with over on DraftKings. If you guys deposit $5 right now, use the link in our description. You guys get $200 in bonus bets. So use this $5 on this big play odd that we have for you to help you guys get paid out. If it does and it hits, congratulations. You guys made some money. If not, it's $200 in free bets. So, Bobby, why don't you take it away, man? What are we on that is big plus odds?
So here's what I'm leaning towards. So I see why it is at this level, because he has not had a finish in the UFC. He's been finished once, but has not himself had a finish since February of 2020 on the regional scene, and it was by armbar. He's had some KO TKOs on the regional scene. What do you think, since he lost by flying knee, Sopaj did, in his last fight, what do you think about a Ricky Tercios just outright KO, TKO, DQ at plus 900? Or do you think Tercios KO, TKO, DQ, or sub double method at plus 6? Because I feel like Tercios is going to have an agenda. He's going to have an axe to grind. He's going to want to make a statement. He knows this guy just got knocked out by a flying knee this past March. Chin could be not, you know, there still fully yet. Is he a dumbass in the gym getting in sparring wars and just further deteriorating that chin? Is, like I said earlier, is his confidence just going to be completely shattered and he's not going to be the same? Or is he going to really learn from this? Do you think Tercios comes out trying to make a statement, feeling like he needs to make a statement, like he's under the gun, getting choked out in his last fight? Or do you think he plays it safe? Because you can even get good odds on decision. Because decision for Tercios outright is plus 550.
Man. I feel like if you're going to go with the underdog, why not swing? Because, I mean, we're already on him at the money line of the plus 250. The sub aspect, like, he's not – like, this dude's not a grappler. Like, he came out and he just got absolutely dominated on the ground by Raul. And then
–
but he came out swinging hard on Raul. So like maybe he comes out swinging hard again and catches him. So I'm like, why not, man? Why not go for the KO?
All right. Then I'm going Tercios KO, TKO, DQ outright at plus 9. Plus 9 hundo.
That's huge. That is huge, man. I love that bet.
And we've been hitting those.
Bobby, do we have a John Jones fight next week? Is that the next one coming up?
I don't know if I believe it until they're locked in the cage, but we're supposed to, I do believe.
And I believe we also have a, once again, will this fight happen, a Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson fight coming up as well.
Oh, I completely forgot about that. Honestly, I'm surprised I haven't been seeing that more heavily promoted.
I think it's like within 10 days, maybe. Like, I think it's coming up here, early November.
Oh, sorry. Really bad taste. Oh, God.
Well, me like
dog shit.
We'll see. Our last video, Jake Paul versus Tyson Perry, Platinum Mike Perry, did pretty good. Did really good. So you might have to make another one here for this fight. So guys, if that is out, you see it, make sure you guys subscribe so you do see it. Subscribe to the channel, like our video, and we'll see you guys in the next episode. Peace, guys.
Peace.